I want to start by saying thank you. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the hotel last night. Thank you for the food. And dear Brother Doug, thank you for all you've done for me. You've been a great friend. Thank you. I still think of him as pastor. Real quick, let me say a few things. Who is Paul Rose? Who am I? Well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a filthy, worthless sinner that Jesus picked up by his matchless grace, washed me in his blood, and set these crippled feet of mine on a pathway that allowed me to serve him for 43 years in the land of South America. I don't know if many of you understand or heard the story of Through the Gates of Splendor, the five missionaries that went down to South Ecuador and that were slaughtered by the Aucas. That happened on January the 8th of 1956. When that story got back to Texas, there was a school there by the name of BEST, Bible Evangelistical Schools of Texas, the Miller Road Baptist Church, and seven students that were there listening, heard the story, decided to get up and take their place. My parents were two of those, well, my parents were one of the seven teams. And it was January the 8th of 1958, 2 years to the day that they were slaughtered, that these seven missionaries landed in Peru and spread out through the country. After we arrived in Peru, in January 1958, it was two months later, I got polio. And I don't want to go into all the details. My grandparents thought of all that. My grandparents thought my parents were out of their mind for leaving Dallas and down to Peru, but I'm so thankful to the Lord that He chose us to do what's being done. With all that said, there's a million things I can say right now. So many messages that would love to be said, but the moment that I talked to Brother Donnie, the Lord spoke to my heart that moment in time. And I want to talk today about the principle of missions. What is missionaries all about? I didn't come to indoctrinate you guys. I didn't come to teach anything new. I'm a missionary. I came to present missions. I have one goal. Where's Brother Donnie at right now? There you are. I've got one goal, Brother Donnie, and that's to get out of here without losing my support. If I get that done, I've accomplished my purpose. The sad thing about going to church that already supports you is you got nothing to gain and everything to lose. So I'm going to try to keep it short. I'll look at the clock. I'm going to try to keep a good message. You're all good people. Everybody's going to heaven here. Don't worry about that. Yeah, I know. I hear you thinking, brother. Anyway, would you open your Bibles up this morning to Ezekiel chapter 37? Ezekiel chapter 37. I want to give you an outline, then I want to give you an outline, and then I want to preach my first point, and we'll call it quits. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. Guys, I used to have a conviction that we always stood during the reading of the Word, but the Lord took that privilege away from me about 3 years ago. But if you're willing and able to stand while we read, that's fine. But if you're like me, I just simply don't have the ability, don't try. If I just stood up, it'd last about 20 seconds and I'd have to sit down again. But the Bible says this: the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto these bones, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the flesh covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy, and say to the wind, I'm sorry, said to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. O Father, in Jesus' name, help me this morning. Let me be a blessing to these people. They sure have been a blessing to me. Be glorified this morning. May Jesus Christ be exalted. And may we walk away understanding what it's all about. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The principle of missions. What is mission work all about? What's it about? Is it about going and starting a great big church? Is that what it's about? I would like to draw your attention first to 1 Kings chapter 8. Look, and I'm not going to hit all the verses. I don't have time. But in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 59 and 60, let me show you the purpose of missions. The purpose. And let these, my words, real quick, I hate doing this. Every time I do this, I get lost in the details and I forget to say what I want to say. Solomon is dedicating the new temple that the Lord has chosen to put his name there to the Lord. And notice his purpose. And let these my words, wherein I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night. Here goes. That he maintain the cause of his servant. Number two, the cause of his people, Israel, at all times as the matter shall require. Verse 60, that all people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. That is the purpose. The world has to know that there is God. I didn't say a God, I said God. And that there is none else. Yes, the world has gods all over you. The United States does too. Everybody has their God. Some God might be their job. Some may be their education. But there's only one God. And he's there, and everyone, I don't care if you believe it or don't believe it, will one day stand before him and give an account for everything you've ever done. Those that believe will go with him into his kingdom, and those that do not believe will be cast into an eternal hell. Yes, where there's agonies untold forever and ever. The reason we preach, though you don't believe this, it's still true. Truth is still truth. The purpose of missions. But the principle is what I want to hit today. How does this all work? What is the mechanism? And brother, if I got into the details, we'd be here for 2 weeks and I still wouldn't be through. And God would throw me out and say, not only not support this guy, shoot him before he goes back. But let's just get down to what it's really all about. Number one, I want you to look at this. Verse one, this will be my message this morning, so therefore I'm going to kind of skip it. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which is full of bones. That is the call. The call. And that will be my message this morning, so let me skip over that right quick. Huh. But then you find there's not only a call, but there's an observation. Notice in verse 2, the Bible says, and he caused me to pass by them round about. The Lord has his way of showing his missionary off. There's this really strange thing about an American that leaves the U.S. and goes to a weird place in South America. He looks kind of funny. He dresses kind of funny. And he talks awful funny. And dumber than a box of rocks. You ought to watch this white guy. He's just plain stupid. And let's all take advantage of him. And the Lord has his way of passing him throughout the bones right about. You got to buy your groceries. You don't know how to buy them. Let me ask y'all a question. If you had to go buy milk in Peru, South America, where would you go? What does it look like? You know how to buy milk, don't you? You walk into a Walmart and open up the... And there's we don't have Walmart. Oh, and I forget. It doesn't come in plastic jugs either. It comes in cardboard boxes. And no, it's not a refrigerator either. Anyway, those are just details that we're not going to get into right now. And it's so funny watching this guy bumble around and don't even know how to buy milk. Hey, man, I know what we can do. Let's go sell him a real expensive nothing to make him pay for it. But you pass by them roundabout. Now you got to go pay your electric bill. Now you got to rent a house. And all these things that you got to do. And it makes society kind of look at you. Remember what the Lord said about a light on a candle, a candlestick? You don't put it under a bushel, you put it up there high. And I've got to say one thing in case I don't get to finish it before I finish. There's a principle of brokenness that the Lord uses to shine the light. It's fun being praised. It's fun being blessed. One little kid watched a missionary come home from the mission field and saw what all the church did for him and all the accolades and all the beautiful things they did for him. The little boy pulled his daddy's coat and said, "Daddy, now I know what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be a returned home missionary. That's what I want to be." That's fun. But there's a thing that happens. It's called brokenness. The Bible tells you in Matthew 21:44, if you fall on the stone, it'll shatter you. But if that stone falls on you, it'll crush the life out of you, and there'll be none to put you back together again. There is brokenness, and it is hard, and it hurts, and it's embarrassing to be put up on public exposition and watch you be destroyed in front of everyone. But he makes you pass by them roundabout. And he's noticed two things about the bones that he walked around. Number one, there was a bunch of them. I'll never forget the first time I landed in Lima. A shock. Man, I can't get into all this. I just can't afford this. But I remember landing and all these people. In Lima, there's 8.5 million people. How in the world am I going to affect anybody here? Yes, there is this thing called depression that does come in. And it eats you up. And it swallows you down. And you wonder, what in the world am I doing here? Nobody's going to listen to me. Nothing's going to happen here. I'm a nobody in this great big land. A bunch of them. And the second thing he noticed is, lo, they were very dry. No life in them whatsoever. Not just in Peru, but man, I've been to Mexico. I worked 8 years in Mexico. I worked 12 years in Chile. I've been over 30 years in Peru. And guys, I'm telling you that when it comes to dry bones, they are dry. There's only two things that entertains everybody. Let's get drunk and then let's have fornication. That's life in Latin America. That's what they do. And now here we come saying, hey, stop. Come. Come to Christ. He said, what are you offering? I'm offering you a cross. A cross to die on. Wow. Would I rather have the party with alcohol or the cross with shame? But that is the price. And I want to say something today right now. Whether you understand it or not, that's what the Christ offers. You want to come with me? Pick up your cross and come. I'll get into a little bit of that later on. And then comes this question, verse 3. Can they live? You know what the immediate answer is? Ain't no kind of way, Lord. These guys are dead in their trespasses. I live in a town called Jauja. And there's a 2-week party that takes place. And the streets are just saturated. They come from everywhere. And all they're interested in is getting drunk. That's it. And then what follows? That's it. Son of man, can these bones live? How about the neighborhood you live in? Can they live? How about the world you're living in? I don't know anything about this town. I've been here twice, and both times I sat right here. And so I don't even know. Watertown, is that where we're at? Weatherton? Waterford. Ford in the water. Waterford, okay. I don't know what to do here, but I asked the question. And I don't even know how many people are here in this town, but I bet you there's a bunch of them. And the question still comes, can they live? Look, I don't have any answers, but I know the one that does. And Ezekiel answered the right thing. Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. Look, my job isn't to win the world to Christ. Oh, what a missionary. What a missionary. This is not support that guy. He's not out to win souls. No, I'm not out to win the world to Christ. My job is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If anybody's going to save them, it has to be the Lord. The Holy Spirit has to convince them of sin. The Holy Spirit has to convince them of righteousness. The Lord has to convince them of the judgment to come. My job is to open the Word of God and preach what the Bible says. You can do one or two things with it. You can believe and accept it, or you can reject it and die with it. Can they live? Oh Lord God, thou knowest. And then he starts the procedure, and it's a real simple one. What do you got to do, Brother Rose? Do you got to go out and make a great plan for the city? Nah, let the smart guys do that. We dumb guys just do verse here, this verse 4. Preach to them. That's what it says, by the way. Prophesy. Said, prophesy to these bones. Say unto them, oh, you dry bones, what's the command of God? What does it say right there? Hear the word of the Lord. No. What's that? That's an old book. You realize that was written almost 800 years before Christ. Don't you understand that? Hear the word of the Lord. We have psychologists today. We have our methods today. Oh, we got the educated ones. We understand how it gets done. I'm sorry, but this old book, you know what it says? Hear the word of the Lord. If you're ever to be saved, you must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must believe what God has to say. If you believe, what does the Bible say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou might be saved. Oh, you know what's wrong? That's why you can't just listen to a preacher. You got to look it up and see what it says. Thou shalt be saved. Just you, of course, maybe your house, maybe. Well, correct me. That's not what it says. You and your house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house. Believe. That's how you get in. All right. I'll get to this. Well, I don't think I'm going to have time, but we'll see. He says then, behold, here's the procedure. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter to you, and ye shall live. That's the trick. He's going to do it. And for you church builders, I'm hoping somebody in here has a burning desire somewhere along the way to start a church. I appreciate that about, I was going to say your pastor. Brother, I'm still in the old school here, you know. Brother Doug's desire, plant churches. They don't all work, brother. But the ones that do, praise God for them. Aren't you glad this church still exists? Aren't y'all glad there's a church here? To get to come sit, well, you guys got some really nice chairs. I want to try to get somebody like this in South America. We have old wooden benches. You know what I mean? It's pretty hard to fall asleep in them wooden benches. But anyway, for you that want to plant churches, here's what God says. You do the preaching. Here's what he says. I, verse 6, I will lay sinews upon you. I will bring up flesh upon you. I will cover your skin. I'm so tempted to take off and say other things. And it's already 10:20. I've seen the power of God in operation. I've seen it, guys. Lord, we started this church and they're throwing us out and we don't know what we're going to do. Lord kind of says, I do. I love serving the Lord. I know what to do. But Lord, we can't afford all that. No. Come over here. See this building? You'll hear about this in the video. I want to give you this free building over here. And then all of a sudden he touches somebody else. And wait a minute. But Lord, I do. Call him to me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. I'll bring the sinews up. I'll bring the flesh upon them. I'll do anything, but Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't know nobody that's got that kind of stuff. Son, preach the word. That's your job. Preach the word. The power's in the word of God. Anyway, verse 7, boy, I love this. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. There always will be. Some like it, some hate it. Always a noise. And not only a noise, a shaking. I've seen that shaking. Brother Rose, get out of here. You're a rank heretic. Get out of here. Okay. We don't have anything more to do with Brother Rose. Nothing more to do. I was at a big conference one time, and a big boy stood up and preached in his pulpit and said, we only recognize two missionaries here, and Brother Rose ain't one of them. Would you please leave? And a lady asked me today where that river comes across. And I said, yeah, I paid $70 just to ride on that river. It was because they threw me out of that church that morning. I didn't know what else to do. My plane ticket went till 3 or 4 days later. So me and Brother Wheatfeather, we just jumped on a boat and went out to the Amazon River just to say we'd been on it. Yeah, there's a shaking. No, they're not going to love you. They're not going to like you. But man, behold, verse 7, bone came together, bone to his bone. Aren't you glad God's in charge of all this? No, really, aren't you glad God's in charge? See, if God had told Ezekiel, by the way, this is not my message this morning. This is not it. This is just extra here. What if God had told Ezekiel, here's what I want you to do. See that big valley you have full of bones? Yeah, I see that, Lord. I want you to go put all the bones together. And when the bones all get put together, I'm going to put life into them. Well, you know what we'd have done, don't you? We'd have gone that way looking for the big bone. We don't want the small bones, we want the big bones, you know, the rich looking bones. And so we go get this big bone, and boy, here's one looks like a head. And I want another one, and I would put it there, and here's another big bone. Wow, look, by the time we're done, we'd have the ugliest looking monstrosity you ever saw in your life. Aren't you glad that God puts bone together to his bone? He even has room for the little bones. Even his ugly bones. Even the crippled ones. He puts bone together to his bone. He does the job. And what else happened? Oh, but they looked and said, oh, but Lord, there's still no life in them. That's all right. Verse 9. Preach again. I love this. I don't know if y'all know this, but I love preaching. And there's only one thing I like better than preaching. No, it's not eating. It's preaching again. I like that. Preach. Well, now what I do, preach again. Now what I do, preach again. I'm telling you guys, it works. It works. And what's the result of missions? The total consequence. Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me. Breath came into them, they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You don't want an army of one big soldier. There was a story in the Bible of that, isn't there? Oh yeah, David and Goliath, I just remembered. Remember how big that soldier was? Remember? He's big. Well, how big was he? Bible says he was kodos. What's a kod in English? Cubit, thank you. He's 6 cubits and some. What 6 cubits? A whole lot bigger than you. That's how big that is. A whole lot bigger than you and some. And a span. Well, how big is the span? What's bigger than you? That's all you need to know. And he's out there, one big body out there. Ooh, he's a big army. Look at that big army. I love God. Oh, I love him. I love the Lord. He didn't send out another big champion. He sent out a little kid with a slingshot. A little kid. Didn't even shave yet. Boy, that was an insult to the Jews. Didn't even shave yet. And this big body, you know, the super guy, looks down and says, what am I, dog? God said, yep. And I'm going to beat you with the stick. I love that story. And then this boy gets out his slingshot, slings it around, and you say, well, what a great shot he was. No, he was horrible. He wasn't trying to hit that guy's head. You know where that guy's head was? Remember, he had that bronze helmet on? Remember that? He just threw a rock and said, here, God, do what you got to do with it. God grabbed that rock, shoved it through that head, and kicked that guy to the ground, but said, come here, missionary, cut his head off for me. I love the Lord. That's another story. Let's get down to the message this morning. I want you to look at verse 1. What is the call? How do I get ready for what the Lord wants? I don't know who's here. It's, you know that. The only one I know is Brother Donnie. I can't believe it. I know your name, Erica, that's what it is. Precious lady, thank you for all the instructions. You said clear as bell. I'm glad that you did it, not your husband. But anyway, thank you for all that you've done. But you're the only ones I know. The rest of you, I don't know. Anybody here want to preach? Anybody here? The Lord's talking about the ministry. Fellas, make your calling and election sure. There comes winds in life. There comes trials in life that will knock you to the ground. It'll hurt. They walk away. Churches fold. They backstab you. But not all of them. I was talking to Brother Paul Schwenke just 2 days ago, and he said, not all of them, Brother Paul. Not all of them. I said, you're right, brother. Not all of them. But this is what has to happen. The hand of the Lord was upon me. There's my message this morning. The hand of the Lord was upon me. You notice there's a comma there? This is the only thing that I've got to be concerned with. All that other stuff we talked about, He carried me out in the Spirit. He set me down in the valley. He told me what to say. He brought the bolts together. He put the Spirit in. He covered them with flesh. He did the same. He did everything. Well, what did I do? What did I do? Well, you had to be there for the hand of the Lord to come upon you. I'm going to say several things here as we get into this. I got 3 short points, and I'll be done. I hope they're short. Today's Father's Day, and I do wish you all a happy Father's Day. But I'm afraid that today's not really all that a grand of a day. It was 20 years ago today that my father passed away. It was exactly today, a few years earlier, that my grandmother passed away. But see, not everybody that's a dad, they're actually saying Happy Father's Day to. One of the hardest responsibilities you'll ever carry in your life is to be a father. God gave you this tool called authority. Authority. And God gave it to you. He didn't give it to mama, He gave it to you. And He gave it to you for 3 purposes. Number 1, the purpose of that authority is to produce character and wisdom in your children. Let me define it right quick. What is character? The ability to say no to sin. What is wisdom? The ability to see things as God sees them. Where are they going to learn this? Oh, I send my kids off to school, Brother Rose. Oh, yeah. And that public school, they're going to get character and wisdom, aren't they? Yeah, that's where they're going to learn it. No. God didn't say, oh, that's Brother Donnie's job. I was going to say Brother Doug's job, but that's Brother Donnie's job. No, I'm sorry, Brother Donnie, that's not your job. Daddy, it's your job. Happy Father's Day. It's your job to produce character in your kids. You know how my daddy did it? Oh, he was amazing. He didn't use all this wisdom. No, he had a belt around his waist. Y'all know what that belt was for? To hold his pants up? Nah, I got one on too. You think I need this to hold my pants up? Open thine eyes and thou shalt see. No! My belt and my boy's rear end had a loving relationship. They were in love with each other all the time. They had to see each other on a daily basis. Just like my rear end with my dad's belt. You know, today in time they say, well, how cruel, how cruel. That's just so cruel. I praise God that I had a dad that taught me to fear Him. You're supposed to fear God. Well, if you'd have had a dad like mine, you'd have feared Him first, and then you'd have feared God. Real quick. It's 10:30 already. I was in a school up in West Virginia. We were missionaries in Peru. My dad's missionary. And we were sinners. And Dad sent me to West Virginia to boarding school up there. It was a Baptist high school. And we got to singing with a quartet up there and choir. And we traveled around representing the school. And one day we were in this little hotel. And the guys got together and said, "Hey, man, everybody's asleep. Let's go out and get some beer. Let's drink some." Christian school. Do they get Christian schools? No. Christian schools will all have halos around our heads like that. The reason you can't see it because it ain't there. The first thing I thought of, not I would with the guys, no. I could see my dad, who's only about 6,000 miles away, looking at me with those eyes. My dad had X-ray vision. He did. 6,000 miles away, he could beam right through me and burn. Don't you dare. See, my dad didn't just punish us. No. First, dad crucified us. Then he burned us at the stake. Then he stoned us. Then he whipped us. And so, no, guys, I ain't going out there. Oh, come on, Brother Rose. Nobody will know. Yeah, that's what David said to Bathsheba. Just him, her, all Israel, and all the world to come. And besides then, nobody will ever know. I got it. No, thank you. Character. I'm not giving myself the credit for that. I give my dad credit for that. You know what would happen to me, don't you? I'd have snuck out that day. The police would have caught us somehow. Brought us before not just the school but the board. They would have shipped me back to my dad's house. And there'd be no missionary here talking today. They'd have buried him in Peru long ago. I'm serious. I use that same tactic on my boys today. And I praise God that they're all preachers. Not only are you to produce wisdom and wisdom. How do you teach wisdom? Where is wisdom found? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. And all thy getting, get understanding. Get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. And all thy getting, get understanding. And that word understanding and intelligence are interchangeable. Home. Bible studies. Here's wisdom right here. If you want to see the things the way God sees, you've got to open up this book. When's the last time you sat with your family, opened up the Bible, and said, "We're studying this book. We're studying this book." Wisdom and character. Number two, you're only supposed to produce wisdom and character. Number two, you are to provide protection from destructive temptations in your home. There's temptations out there your kids can't handle. Too young, too stupid. Brother Paul, I don't like to use that word stupid in the church. Okay, too young and incapable of learning. That's what the word stupid means. And so you're to protect them. But Daddy, look, like I said, you know I don't know who I'm talking to, all right? But Dad, I want to go to the prom. I can't believe it if you said yes. That's your business and problem. If it had been my daughter, yeah, right. You're going to go to the prom, ride that fancy limousine to the, no, that's good. You know what? We're going to stay home. But Daddy, everybody's doing it. I know, and everybody's on the way to hell too. You're not. I'm not turning you loose to those parties, to the young people. I'm not doing that. I'm raising you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Isn't that tough being a Christian? That's just number two. Number three, you're also to show, give advice, to show the way and how to handle the difficult decisions of life. Marriage, school, career, aren't these important lessons? Yeah. So happy Father's Day, guys. You got to produce, you got to provide, and then you got to protect. That's your job. And God gave you this word called authority to do so. Now I said all that to say what? The hand of the Lord came upon me. See, for the hand of the Lord to come upon you, there's three characteristics that have to take place for that to happen. Number one, you have to have proper hearing. Proper hearing. What am I supposed to hear? You didn't hear him say it over here in the chapter, "Hear the word of the Lord." Hear the word of the Lord. Well, if you go to Matthew chapter 13 and look at verses 13 to 17, I'm just going to quote it because I don't have time to look it all up. They don't want to hear. Because if they hear, now they're going to understand, and they'll see it with their eyes, and their heart will be converted. That's why they don't want to hear. So what do? They shut their eyes. I can't see. I can't hear you. Is that not what's going on today? As I travel across this country, I'm amazed at how many churches are just dying. This is a healthy sight here. It's good to see all these people here. I don't see this where I go. They don't want to hear. I've had many tell me, not many, Brother Rose, we tried, but no one's listening. Let me tell you why. Satan has won the upper battle in the home. In the home. Daddies don't know how to be daddies anymore. Mommies don't know how to be mommies anymore. Therefore, kids sure don't know how to be kids. And they think that kids are supposed to be popular in school. Kids are supposed to do what the world tells them to do. Kids are supposed to overcome in the world. No. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I have. You follow me. The hand of the Lord is upon me. Do you mind if I call somebody to read a scripture? Or is that anti you? All right, somebody look up for me. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Somebody's got a good voice and a perfect male. One of you guys. Luke 8, 18. Today sometime. Y'all do believe. Read it, please, please, sir. Even that he hath. Yep. Seemeth to have. Yeah, that's good. Seemeth to have. Be careful how you hear. Are you paying attention right now? As I speak, are you listening? Do you know how to listen? I mean, a lot of people come to church with this attitude. All right, preacher. I'll pay you money. Now entertain me, guy. Make me feel good. Well, if you came to my church, you came to the wrong place. You didn't come to make me let you feel good. I'm hoping you're so stinking miserable by the time I'm through with you that you'll break down and cry before the Lord and say, help me, Lord. Those kinds I'm looking for. I need some soldiers out there fighting with me. No, not to make you feel good. This is not an entertainment center. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proper hearing. I do want to take you to one verse. Matthew chapter 20, please. Matthew chapter 20. A verse that so many people overlook all the time. Verse 16. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Many are called. Brother Paul, the Lord's called me to the ministry. Praise the Lord. Go sit down. Didn't you hear what I said? I said I've been called to preach, therefore I want to preach. Well, that's not my problem. That's the Lord's problem. Many are called. Great. But are you the chosen? How many pastors can be here at one time, Brother Donnie? Seven or eight? What? How many?
One.
Yeah. One. But there's several preachers. Yeah, many are called. If you're chosen. I got to get off this point. But let me sound the alarm bell. If many are called, how come we're not hearing that today? I don't hear many called. Every blue moon I hear somebody say, God is calling me. And out of the many called, few were chosen. Doesn't that scare the living daylights out of you? It's because we're in the last days, folks. Look up. Redemption draweth nigh. Not only do you have to have proper hearing, but you've got to have a perfect heart. A perfect heart. Oh, Brother Rose, we've all blown it there. Yep, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. You're right, we've blown it. Bible tells me my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Look at verse 9. This is David dying, and he's talking to his son Solomon. And he says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart. Now, just to make things straight, Perfect doesn't mean without sin. Because if that's the case, man, shoot us all. I'm still a sinner. Say praise God, but I'm still a sinner. Perfect heart, it means a mature heart. Ready to do what you're supposed to do. And I'm going to get into a little bit more of that. This last point. A perfect heart. Well, how do I attain that? Look at this. Perfect heart. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him. Remember Matthew 13:13? Seek and... Matthew 7:13. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and be opened. Call and be answered. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. I got to hit this just real quick. We have camp every year. But the young boy that I saw, well, you went to the Out of Keeper camp, right? Well, that's the third rate one. That's my son-in-law's. That's not that good. Mine is the good one. Mine is the pure heart one. Don't tell him I said that. That's a secret between us, okay? And by the way, you left some heartthrobs behind you, but I'm not going to get into that right now either. But anyway, no, I ask them all the time, kids, what do you want? What do you want? Oh, that you could settle that score in your heart. What do you want? See what the heart wants, the eyes seek for. Well, that's what you want? Wow, a bowl of beans? I wonder how hard it is to find a bowl of beans somewhere. If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. What are you looking for? What do you want? Is your eyes on the temporal? Oh man, have you seen a 2025 Camaro here lately? Really? One day we're sitting at a railroad crossing and stopped, and a whole bunch of railroad cars are going by, and most of them with smashed cars. And the preacher sitting there said, there goes all the dreams of the youth of the past. That's what you're dreaming for? Come on, lift your eyes. Get real. Did you know just yesterday, last night, I went to bed. I was 25 years old. I woke up and I was good looking too. Hey, skinny little guy. I looked in the mirror this morning and oh my God, what's happened? Fat, ugly, and old. Ball too. What happened? You're going to say the same thing one day. Youth is so fleeting. The Bible says like a vapor. Pah. One day the doctor's going to say, you've got till October and you're done. What do you want to see when you look back? What do you want? Wake up. One day you're going to have family. You're going to have kids. What do you want? I don't care if those kids become professionals or not. I don't care if they get good jobs. I don't care if they get good houses or not. I want them home. Oh, God, save my kids. Oh, God, save my grandkids. Got 22 of them, by the way. I don't want to see a one of them in hell. I want to see them in the house of God. I want to hear them, listen, I want them hearing the word of the Lord. What do you want? Tell yourself, convince yourself. What do you want? Because what you want is what you'll seek after. If thou seek Him, He will be found in thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. Look, I've got one more verse on this thought, and then I'll hit my last point and we'll quit, okay? I do have to 11, right? What was I saying? One more thought. Psalm 65. Look, if you can't find Psalm 65, let me give you the perfect way to find any verse. If you can't find Psalm 65, look up Psalm 64, and it's the next chapter. It has never failed me, not one time. See, here's, I found it. Psalm 64. Perfect. It never fails. Try that one for you. Psalm 64, next chapter, Psalm 65. Look what it says here in verse 4. Blessed is he. Blessed is he. Blessed is that man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house even of the holy temple. Did y'all see that word satisfied? Can I take you to one more verse? Can we go to Psalms 81? Now, y'all already know my method of finding that chapter. Psalms 81. I've got to read this. I'm sorry about this, but I got to. Verse, where do I start, man? Verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Verse 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Their haters, the haters of the Lord, should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the rock, that I should have satisfied thee. You see that word, satisfied? Real quick, and I'm trying to get through. You know who the untemptable man is? You know who this man full of character and wisdom? You know something about this guy? You know who he is? He's the satisfied guy. He's satisfied with his Lord. He's satisfied with his portion in life. Satisfied with his wife. Satisfied with life. And when it comes time to die, and it's going to come, how does the Bible say there in my brain's not working right now. I'm dead on a doorknob. But in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it appointed unto man once to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Oh, when it's time to die, you lay down in peace. Lord, I finished my race. I've done what you wanted me to do. I've kept the faith. I'm ready to go. But there's going to be many. I was beside a man one day. I've been beside three people when they died. One was an old drunk. Trying to talk to him. His son begged, please talk to him before he goes. Please talk to him. Screaming and hollering as he walked out. Screaming. I can only imagine who accompanied him off to the other side. Demons from hell drug him out. That's all I can imagine. But I knew a man. It's his time to go. Brother Paul, I've wasted my life. I know what the Lord wanted me to do, and I didn't do it. I wish you could have seen his place. He had this big ranch in Texas, and it was big. They found gas, natural gas on his property. He had an incredible income. He had the biggest spread you ever saw, white picket fence all around it. Beautiful yard, and I sat there and watched this guy cry. I don't want heaven, I want this. Like Proverbs 24 says, I looked and I learned. And I took advice from this man. This is what you want? Really? All these things in this life are temporal. They're all temporal. One day, we have to go. And when we go, when you're looking back, when you're on your deathbed, you're looking back at your life, what do you want to see? What do you want to see? Let me hit this last point that I have. We'll call it quits. For the hand of the Lord to come upon you, you have to have proper hearing, you have to have a proper heart, and finally, you have to have a purged life. Go with me, please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I got 10 more minutes, and we got 10 more to go, so here we are. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. The Bible says this, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth. some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man, therefore, will purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. 2. Sanctified. 3. Meet for the master's use. 4. Prepared unto every good work. No, I'm not going to preach each one of those points. I'm not. You know, I'm one of 9 kids. My dad had 9 kids. I'm 3. Yep. And my mama, it was a blessed thing to go eat at her table. It really was. We're old school. We all believe in the formalities. Knife, fork, and spoon. You didn't come to dad's table with no shirt on. If you're dirty, go get cleaned up. Wash your face, wash your hands. And you didn't come grabbing food or to pray first. But dad always gave a little spill before he ate. It was a big thing for him. And the older we got, the bigger it got. It became an institution almost. And when you walked into my mom's house, you'd see pictures all along her wall. If you got any smarts, don't ask her who they are. She'll spend the next 3 hours talking about each one of her grandkids. She had 37 of them. Yeah, at their funeral, she had 37 grandkids, her 9 kids, their spouses. Yeah, it was a crowd, over 50 people up on that stage. And we all sang, It Is Well With My Soul. And then came time, but like I said, they're all on her wall. Why on her wall? Right where your eye would catch them. Why? She wanted you to see them. She was proud of these things, and she put them on there. And when it came time to eat, now their regular meals was, that was her dad. I don't know if they just ate sandwiches or what. But when the family got together, she'd get out her best. She'd go to a closet and pull out the best she had. And she'd spread it out. And for heaven's sakes, don't start reaching and grabbing to get something. Dad would chew your head off. I already told you about my dad. You don't want him mad at you. Even whenever I was 47, he still had x-ray vision, and it burned all over the back of my skull. He didn't have to say anything, just had to... It'd kill you every time. Anyway, when he sat down at the table, he gave his speech and called on one of us to lead in prayer. And don't dare start, God is good, God is great, let us thank him for the food. Amen. He'd chop your head off before you finished. And then while you're dying, he'd ask somebody else to pray. If you want to pray, pray. Give God the glory for what's going on. Dad was strong about this. Then we would eat. And you're not supposed to leave the table until Dad gave you permission to leave. That's the way it was. Now, in that house, Mom had all kinds of vessels. She had her stuff she'd put on display. She had some things that were so precious to her, she didn't put on display. She had them kept in a secret place. But you know, did I tell you what we had? One of 9 kids, did I tell you that part? See, the thing about having 9 kids, Dad had 4 boys and 5 girls. Yep. In one house. Yep. Dad never got a house. His first condition. He didn't ask how the garage was. He didn't want to see the master bedroom. He wanted to see that it had 3 bathrooms. It had to have 3 bathrooms. One for the boys, one for the girls, and one for him. And you better not be in his bathroom when he wanted to go. You got your bathroom. Now, if you got 3 bathrooms, that means you got 3 white thrones. Amen. We all know what those great white thrones are for. It's not for the elect. It's for everybody else. Now, to keep those white thrones white, you needed a certain utensil. Mama had a brush. It was a long white brush that kept in a long white thing, that this contraption that when you did something, it opened up. And then when you put it in, it shut back up again. It's amazing. Now, all the time I was at Mom's house, all the time I was there, not one time did Mom go get that brush and show it to everybody. This is my brush. Not one time. She didn't talk about that brush. She didn't show that brush off. She left it in the bathroom concealed in a plastic container. Now, in God's house, there's all kinds of vessels for all kinds of jobs. Some gold, some silver, Some wood and some not of wood. Some to honor and some to dishonor. If you've got ears to hear what I'm trying to say today, you can be a toilet brush if you want to be. That's your decision. You don't have to be. If you'll purge yourself from these, you can be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified, that word sanctified just simply means set apart for the master's use. And prepared unto every good work. I want to conclude right now with this. The greatest experience, dear brother, friend, if you're not saved, that's fine. I mean, it's not fine. I'm talking to you too. That's what I meant. The greatest experience that can ever happen to you is the hand of the Lord coming upon you to use you. I know what I'm talking about. It's a high that the marijuana smokers are looking for. It's a high that the drunks are seeking for at the bottom of a beer bottle. It's that high that the druggies are looking for when they shoot themselves up. There is a natural high. It don't happen all the time. But every now and then, the hand of the Lord comes upon you and picks you up and uses you in a special way. Ah, if I had 4 more hours, I'd take it to the mountaintop. I've been there. I've seen the resurrected Christ. Not literally. You seeing ghosts, Brother Paul? No, I'm still sane. My wife thinks I'm insane, but I'm still here. No, I've seen the power of God. I've seen miracles that's unbelievable. If I told you, you know how missionaries are, brother, you know. When they say we're comfortably full in our church, that means there's only 4 benches. They've got 4 people. They all have room to lie down and go to sleep, and that means comfortably full. Yeah, I don't know. Missionaries lingo. I got it. What you're looking for, what your soul craves, is for that contact with your Creator and the hand of Him coming upon you. Because, see, I'm done. I shut my mouth. That's a good sign. You've only got one purpose in life. One. There's not 2 or 3. God does not have a plan B. He has one purpose for you. The day that you discover who you are and what you're here for, the purpose or the will of God for your life, when you find that, you have found happiness. You've got it. You could be happy in jail. I got so many stories. I wish I could share one with you, but I don't have time. Can I tell one story? We're done. I got to tell you. I'm trying to prove a point here. One day, I had to go way down south, almost to the end of the world. When the world ends at the bottom, it just breaks up into over 200,000 islands. Little small islands. But there's 2 or 3 families living on these islands. And all the fishermen go way down there to fish, and the small guys with the little small boats, and they fish there and they bring it back to the big guy and give them the fish and they sell it. But I went down there and I was preaching, and I had to hire a boat to take me way out there, because once you get to the end of the land, you got about 45 minutes to go out the ocean to get to that island. And I hired this guy, and I said, now, I'm going over and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to be through by 3. But I need you to stay here and wait, because I got to get back home. Well, I preached, and as I was through, the women that was on that island gave me a little bag of hot bread. And I said, well, thank you. And I put it in my bag. And I go out there, and I'm all happy. It rains all the time there. It rains every day, so don't ask if it's raining. I had my hat on. I had my jacket on, and my Bible I put inside this plastic container I had, and I walk out there, and the boat's gone. And the boat's gone. Lord, please don't leave me here all night long. This is a miserable state of being. And this old drunk comes by. He's staggering. Have I told you this before here? I hope I haven't. I know you did. You're too young. How old are you right now? 35? 25. Oh, I'm about to say, you don't look old, 35. All right. But all you young ones, I know you didn't hear, all you older ones, you're looking at me like, you've already heard this story. But anyway, the old drunk comes staggering out. He looks at me and says, are you the man of God? I said, yep. Where's your boat? Good question. You can tell he's got a keen sense of observation. Hey, we'll get back to shore. Boy, you're getting smarter every bit. I guess I'll start drinking, get as smart as you are. I don't know. He looks and says, well, look, I got a canoe here. I can take you out to the other ship. Remember what I didn't know? There was another ship out here. A canoe in the ocean. My size. That's all I had. I got in that canoe. I'm not kidding you. The water's just right here. And the ocean. Yeah. And it's all covered over. It's like it's raining real bad. And so he's drunk. And he's just... And I'm happy. I'm happy in the Lord. I'm praising the Lord. If I die today, I'm going home. I'm going home. And the further out to that ocean I got, please don't let me drown. Don't shoot me. Give me a heart attack, but don't let me die drowning. And all of a sudden, this steel curtain shows up. It happened to be a big ocean liner. They invited me up, and that captain fed me, and not only fed me, but got me back to shore and with the motorboat he had, and I got home. You have one purpose in life, one. Happiness depends on if you find that purpose for your life, that. I'm not a pastor. I'm a missionary. I'd make a horrible pastor. Didn't you hear me say a while ago, I wouldn't care how you felt about it, I'm going to do it anyway. That's missionary stuff. Pastors are kind and gentle. See, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we'll have a meeting. We'll see what y'all think about it. Not me, I just do it. But I've never been happy doing something else. I know what I'm talking about. Your happiness will come the day you wait until the Lord comes to you and shows you exactly what He wants you to do. He will. He will. But there's something you got to do too. Well, Brother Paul, I like my parties. I like drinking. I like carrying on, okay? I know what you're seeking, and I know you'll never find it. All I'm going to tell you is right now, if you'll seek, if you will, His promise is, you'll find it. Fine-tune your hearing. Be careful how you hear. Yeah. And then perfect your heart. Grow it up. What are you here for? Are you here for just the pleasure of somebody else? Are you here to be popular? Is that what you're all about? Fine-tune your heart to the Lord. There's a way of seeking. There's a seek Him, seek Him, seek Him. You'll find Him. But number three, if you'll purge your heart, He'll do it. He'll prepare you for every good work, but only has one for you. And when you find the will of God for I'm done. But if you find the will of God for your life, you found happiness. Totally satisfied. You cannot be tempted. Not with money. Not with sin. Pleasure. You can't be tempted.